start to hear and read Isaiah 53 and hearing about the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, that's when I start to really say, okay, I know that it's Good Friday, that it's Easter, that this is the time that we talk about and we celebrate Christ's death, His sacrifice for us. There are times where we are preparing for a holiday. We've already had that theme mentioned for us a couple of times this morning, and it's really no different, I think, in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is coming to this great climactic conclusion. There's something that is very exciting that's about to happen in Mark's Gospel, and we get to talk about it next week. It's the triumphal entry. It's Palm Sunday. It's what we celebrate as Jesus coming into Jerusalem in power and in victory with his people, chanting His name and declaring that He is the one who will save His people from their sin. He is the one who has come from God. But before we get there, there's one thing that has to happen yet before we get to that exciting moment, before we get to that holiday. That is what Mark is dealing with. And it's interesting, there's a story that he gives that Matthew and Luke also give right before the triumphal entry. But with Mark's writing style, it's so important that he kind of leads us up to this point. And there's one last thing that he wants us to see about Jesus Christ before he has him come into Jerusalem. This morning, we're going to be reading Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. So if you do have your Bibles open, you can follow along while I read this. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." Well, this morning, as so often happens when I preach, at least, and maybe when a lot of other pastors preach, there are three points that I'm going to be looking at this morning. Three things that I want us to see and understand about this text and from this text. And the first point is one that, just on a first reading, if all you did was read this morning, you might not know why this is the first point of the sermon. But it's one that I thought, you know, if we're just reading through the Gospel of Mark, maybe I don't even have to talk about this. Maybe I don't have to worry about this at all. I could just kind of ignore it, and maybe nobody would know that there's even anything to talk about here. I think as I've been here over the last year plus, you've started to get to know me, and you know that I have a really hard time ignoring things, and I want to deal with everything. And so this morning, we're going to be starting by dealing with discrepancies. Dealing with discrepancies. It's a very important thing that we need to do. What happens when we read something in the Bible and it doesn't seem to line up with something else that the Bible says? Do we just ignore it and sweep it under the rug? Or do we actually try to deal with it and try to understand why there are apparent discrepancies? Why there are things that seem like they contradict each other? My philosophy, my position has always been, well, let's try and actually deal with it. Let's talk about why there might be some problems, why some people might think that there are some problems, and try to understand if they're really there or not. You might be unfamiliar, as I said, with what the problem even is. Well, the problem is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all have this account, except that all of their details are a little bit different. They all have this account of Jesus healing someone who's blind in Jericho before his triumphal entry. We've already read Mark's account, so we know what he has said. He's talked about this man, and he's named him Bartimaeus, which is funny. His name is Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, and then he calls him the son of Timaeus. He just wanted to make really clear that you know that this man who was blind that Jesus healed is the son of Timaeus. He might have been known to some people. He might have been someone that other people knew. And so Mark wanted to give us that detail so we understand this is a real person that Jesus is interacting with. But Matthew's account is a little bit different. In Matthew chapter 21, he says that Jesus healed two blind men in Jericho. And in Luke, there's something else that's different. Luke chapter 18, Luke says that this took place when Jesus entered the city of Jericho, while Matthew and Mark say it's when he was leaving Jericho. And we can look at that, and there are people who have taken those differences in the stories, in the way that they've been told, and they have said, well, we can't trust the Bible because of these problems. I want to submit to you that I don't really think that there is any serious problem that we can't overcome. I think that we can overcome these concerns, even though they're real concerns. I don't want to say that just because something appears to be a problem, that it's no problem at all. No, we need to deal with it. But if we read carefully and if we think through what's going on, I think that we can understand why these things are just different stories that are the same event, but some different details are being recalled for different purposes. This is something we've seen before in our study of the Gospel of Mark. Each writer of the Gospels is writing with a different purpose and a different audience in mind. And so they're going to include some different details because of the people that they're reaching out to. And so I think that they can still all agree, even if they include different details or if one is silent about something while the others speak to it. I believe that's very much what's happening here. If we look at this story, starting in verse 46 in our passage, we can kind of ask ourselves some of the problematic questions that might get levied against us. And so the questions are, how many people were healed? When did Jesus heal these people? And those are really the issues that are at play. And so we could start by asking, well, how many people were there? How many people were present at this healing? We know that as Jesus, his disciples, this at least one blind man and a great crowd. So we know there's lots of people that were present for this healing. And how long did this blind man named Bartimaeus call out before Jesus heard him and came to heal him? We look at the text and we see it says that he began to cry out. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But people rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he called out all the more. So there's some period of time that he is calling out for. It's a long period of time. If you begin to do something and then you do it all the more, it includes at least some period of time. And how many people did Jesus heal on that day? The answer to that question is we simply don't know the answer to that because we're not given the details of the total number of people that Jesus healed that day. The answer to every question, in fact, every one of those questions, is that none of the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, make a definitive statement and say it was done this way and no other. So we have to think about Jesus' ministry. What have we seen him do through the stories of the gospels? What is a consistent thing that we can see about Jesus? Well, we can see, we know that there's lots of crowds present. We know that there are lots and lots of people. They're standing around, and this man starts calling out to Jesus as soon as he hears that he's there. When do we think, reasonably, this man would have heard that Jesus was in Jericho? Probably when he arrived, as Luke says. And so he began to call out to Jesus when he arrived in Jericho. But there's a period of time that goes on. There's a lengthy period of time where he continues to call out while being rebuked and being told to be silent. And so when does Jesus actually come over to him to heal him? I would submit probably not until he's leaving the city. Bartimaeus doesn't go anywhere. It says he's sitting by the road. And he begins to call out when he hears that Jesus is there. And he's still sitting by the road when Jesus comes and calls him to himself. And so we could ask the question, when did Bartimaeus begin to cry out? When did this event occur? I think it's very likely that it began to occur when he first heard Jesus was arriving and that it took, that the healing itself took place on Jesus' way out. But we could also ask, well, what about the other people that were healed? What was Jesus' normal practice when he healed someone? His normal practice was to heal others as well. We've seen that all throughout. And they bring people to him that he might heal them, and he has compassion on them all. I don't think it's very difficult to assume that as Bartimaeus is crying out to Jesus and there's this clamor and commotion of people trying to keep him quiet and he's calling out, that somebody else who's got the same condition as him says, hey, that sounds good. Let me get in on this too. And so I think it's very probable that Jesus healed more than one person that day. If we look at things in this light, we can say there's no reason, there's nothing that is contradictory in the accounts, even though they give us different details. I think it's very easy to get to a point where we can say that they are in agreement with each other. This man heard about Jesus when he came, when he arrived in the city, and he called out for Jesus to heal him, and that there was another that was there that either knew that Jesus healed Bartimaeus or joined in with Bartimaeus in calling Jesus for healing, and he also received healing. But Mark is focused on Bartimaeus for a reason. And the reason that he's focused on Bartimaeus and not the other blind man or the other people in the crowd or anyone else that Jesus may have healed that day is because of what Bartimaeus says about Jesus when he calls to him. This is consistent with Mark and the way that he's been writing. He wants to answer this question. He's constantly asking, who is Jesus? Who is he? And Bartimaeus gives us an answer in Mark that the rest of the gospel does not give. Bartimaeus, very specifically, is the only person in the entire gospel of Mark to call Jesus the Son of David. There's an indication that this is actually going to happen in our next passage in the triumphal entry when the people call out that Jesus is blessed is the coming of kingdom of our father David in the next chapter. But up until this point, Mark has not used that term. He hasn't recorded anyone saying it of Jesus. Even though Matthew's gospel, we know that this was said about Jesus. Matthew records 9 different accounts where Jesus is called the Son of David. But Matthew is writing to Jewish believers. And so it's important for him to show that Jesus is the Son of David, the Messiah. Mark is writing to probably Christians who are in Rome and don't have a Jewish background. And so it's not one that he goes to great pains to show, but it's an important title, especially for understanding the triumphal entry. And so before we can get to Palm Sunday, before we can get to the triumphal entry, we need Bartimaeus to call Jesus who he really is, the Son of David, for the first time in Mark's account. Jesus is the Son of David. What does that mean? What did Bartimaeus understand? And what would the people around him have been thinking about? We might be able to think about this ourselves if we're familiar with our Old Testament. And some of the verses that I'm about to read, I think you will be familiar with. But there's the promise that is given to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, it says this, "And your house," this is God speaking to David, "your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And then we go further on into the history of Israel, and we can read in Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, we hear this. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." These are indications that there is going to be a Son of David who is going to come and reign on David's throne. And that might make you think of another verse, a verse that we maybe read with another holiday, Isaiah chapter 9. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Who is Jesus? What is Bartimaeus saying he believes about Jesus? Jesus is the one who has been promised from the time of David, through the prophets, up until the time that Bartimaeus is living in. There is one who is coming who would be like the son of David, who would be from the line of David, who would sit on his throne and establish a righteous kingdom forever and would save his people. Who does that sound like? That sounds like Jesus. And in Mark's gospel, the way that he's telling the story, Bartimaeus is the one who declares that that's who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who fulfills all of these Old Testament promises. Bartimaeus understands who Jesus is. When he hears about Jesus, his response is immediate. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. As soon as he hears about Jesus, he shows his faith in who Jesus is, that Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one who is coming to be on David's throne. We know nothing about Bartimaeus other than this one event. He believed that Jesus was the Son of David that had long been looked for, that Jesus is the one who had been anointed by God to sit on David's throne. And so knowing and trusting who Jesus was, he called upon him for help. There's a lot of things that we could take from Bartimaeus and from his example that we could apply to our own lives. A couple of things that I think we could take, we could look at how well he knew his Bible. At the time that he did this, the Old Testament was the Bible. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. But Bartimaeus knew that there was one that had been promised. He knew his Bible well. We also could learn that he paid attention to the things that he heard about Jesus and he thought about them. Bartimaeus was sitting by the road in Jericho. He had never encountered Jesus before. He had never had an interaction with him before. But he knew who he was before he even got there. He had heard from other people, and he paid attention to what he had heard. He paid attention to what he had heard about Jesus. But the thing that I want to focus on this morning in our third point is this. The example that Bartimaeus gives us of faith and following. Faith in Jesus and following Jesus. The picture of faith and following is just so clear from this story of Bartimaeus, and it's one that we could draw a little bit more as we apply it to our lives. And so there are a couple of things that I want us to see here just from this story. As we look at this, we see, first of all, that Bartimaeus trusted God's word. I've already mentioned this a couple of times. He knew God's promises. He believed God's promises. So first and foremost, we can see that this is true of Bartimaeus. He knew who Jesus was before he even called upon him. And so he was able to be undaunted by others. He didn't have to listen to the rebukes of other people when he called on Jesus because he knew who Jesus was from God's word. This is something I think we can take and apply to our own lives. We live in a world that is even more hostile than the one that Bartimaeus lived in. The people were rebuking him and telling him to be quiet about Jesus, but just because they wanted him to be quiet, not because they actually didn't like Jesus. We live in a world now where people are opposed to the message of Jesus. Well, we know what God's word has said. We can study it ourselves and understand it. We know who Jesus is. Are we going to be quiet about who Jesus is? Are we going to be quiet about our dependence on him, our looking to him? Will we allow other people to silence us? Or will we continue to call out to Jesus and to call on him and to speak about him? The second thing that we see from Bartimaeus in his faith and his following is that he calls on Jesus. Having faith, trusting God's word, trusting who Jesus is, he has faith, and having faith, he calls on Jesus for help. This is such a helpful thing, I think, for us to notice, for us to pay attention to. Sometimes, maybe especially when studying through the Gospel of Mark, we could think that the point of these Bible passages over and over again is believe in Jesus. And it is. Often the case with Mark is the whole point of the story is you should believe in Jesus. That gets a little bit repetitive. And for us maybe that have been in a church for a long time or that have believed Jesus for a long time, we might start to think, well, okay, did I really need to hear this? I think the answer is yes, because we don't believe in Jesus only one time. There is a moment of salvation, a moment of regeneration when we put our trust in Him for the first time. But day by day, we need to continue to trust Him. Day by day, we need to continue to believe what He says about Himself, what the Bible says about Him, and that He will do what He has said He will do. Bartimaeus had faith, and so he called out to Jesus for help. And he's persistent in his call. He keeps on calling until Jesus answers him. I think this is such a good picture of the way that we pray. We should be able to call to Jesus, call to God in our prayers, and to go on calling. Not every time are we going to get the answer of, yes, I'm going to do exactly what you want from God. Sometimes the answer will be, I've heard your prayers, but I'm not going to answer it the way that you want me to. We have examples of that happening in Scripture. I think one of the clearest, probably the clearest, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that this thorn should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When Paul cried out to the Lord over and over again for help, for relief, the answer the Lord gave him was, no, I'm not going to take that trial away from you, but I will give you grace to get through it. And so we call on Jesus. We can call on Him for help as we trust Him. We may not always get the exact answer that we want, but we always get what we need. The grace of God to face every situation and every trial that comes into our lives. A third thing to see about Bartimaeus' faith and his following, it's his response to Jesus. He had faith in Him. He called out to Him. And when Jesus answers his call and tells him to come, how does he come? How does he come to Jesus? Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. What a picture. Here is Bartimaeus, blind, probably without much hope because of his circumstances. The people around him have tried to hush him up. They yell at him. Jesus doesn't even answer him right away. But when he hears Jesus call him over, he leaps up. He throws off his cloak and he comes to Jesus. I imagine he comes running. Maybe he didn't because he was still blind. Maybe he walked a little bit more carefully. But what a picture of how joyfully he comes. He comes to Jesus with great joy. And it's such a wonderful picture. One of the commentaries that I read this week pointed this out. It says that his call is so similar. His response to the call is so similar to that of the other disciples in the Gospel of Mark. Think about the call of some of the other disciples. Peter and Andrew says they left their nets and followed Him. James and John, they left their father and their boats and followed Him. And Levi left his tax booth and followed Him. This blind man, Bartimaeus, all he has is a cloak. And he leaves his cloak and runs to follow Jesus. Bartimaeus, is one of Jesus' disciples. Not one of the 12, but he is one of his disciples. He's just like them. Jesus calls him, and he follows Jesus with joy, just as the other disciples meant. That commentary I read went on to make this point. There is a joyous extravagance, a reckless response when the soul becomes suddenly responsive to the call of Jesus. For some of us, maybe that joyful, reckless response to Jesus was so long ago that maybe we've started to lose some of our joy in following him. I hope that we can remember when we come across passages like this, remember the joy that we have in Christ, that he has saved us, that he has brought us out of the pit, and we can have joy in following him. And there is a little bit of a picture going on here too. I've talked before about the sandwiches that Mark uses, where he talks about one thing, goes off to something else, and comes back. This isn't a formal sandwich in Mark, but think about what we've heard about just a couple of weeks ago, the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "I've already done everything. I've already kept the law perfectly. I've already done everything myself." And Jesus tells him there's one thing he doesn't have. He doesn't have a heart that's willing to listen, and so he's disheartened and he goes away sorrowful. What about Bartimaeus? What does Bartimaeus have? What has Bartimaeus done? Nothing. He's done nothing. He has no money. He has no hope. The exact opposite of the rich young ruler. And what's he doing? He's sitting by the road. But when Jesus says to come, he jumps up and he comes with joy to Jesus. There's a picture here of the response of the heart. Do we respond to Jesus with great joy? And finally, fourthly, following the way, the last statement that's made here about Bartimaeus' response, he follows him on the way. Bartimaeus has faith. His faith leads him to call on Jesus for help, and he responds by joyfully coming to Jesus. His encounter with Jesus, it leads him to this one final step, following Jesus on the way. This is such a wonderful phrase. There's a little bit of debate about exactly what this means. In the early days of the Christian faith, in the Bible times, this is what Christianity was known as. Christians were known as followers of the way. That's what they're called. They're not first called Christians. They're called followers of the way. And so it's possible that Mark, who's writing to Christians in Rome, is writing with this idea in mind. And so he's calling this Bartimaeus a lifelong Christian, a lifelong follower of Jesus. There's also a nice picture, though, of where Bartimaeus starts and where he ends in this story. What did we say? Where did he start? Sitting by the road. And where does he end? Following on the way. No longer is he sitting stationary next to the road. He's now on the road following. I don't think that we need to take one or the other. And I think the reason for that is because this is one of the rare cases where I think we can say yes to the question, which was it? We shouldn't always take the middle way, but sometimes I think we should. And I think Mark is such a skilled writer that is what he wants us to do here. He clearly is using it as a picture of the start of the story and the end of the story, sitting by the road, following on the road. But I think there's also an indication that he didn't have to say he followed him on the way, which was a clear evidence that he was a Christian. So I think he has done that on purpose to show that Bartimaeus, how Jesus changed him in that one encounter, but also how Bartimaeus continued for the rest of his life. Bartimaeus followed him on the way. Can we say that of ourselves? Maybe we've joyfully come to Jesus, we've heard about him, but do we follow him on the way? Do we continue day by day to follow after him? Bartimaeus couldn't have done this for very long if it's just the literal sense of him following him on the road. 1 week later, Jesus died on the cross. So Bartimaeus following Jesus on the way, there is a little bit of that metaphor of the Christian life that comes in here. Yes, he followed him for the next week, probably. But then for the rest of his life, he continued to follow Jesus' teaching. he continued to follow the way that Jesus had laid out. I started this sermon by asking a question about preparing for a holiday. What is it that you have to do or that you have to see or hear before you are ready for the holiday? More importantly, what is Mark looking to show his readers before the climax of the final week of Jesus' life? It's an important question. This is to Mark what is so important for us to understand right before we see Jesus lifted up. One commentator, Sinclair Ferguson, said, "No miracle in this gospel more vividly illustrates the promise that God had given through the prophet Joel, that when God established his kingdom, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is no other way to come to Jesus than the way Bartimaeus did, on the basis of our need and Jesus' adequacy." Bartimaeus didn't have anything to offer to Jesus, but he had faith. Jesus says it is his faith that has made him well. Because Jesus is the Son of David. He is the one who is going to take the throne forever. The one who will save his people. So there's nothing more appropriate for Mark's readers to hear before the events of the passion of Jesus than to hear the story of this man who had nothing but faith. But because he had faith, he had all that he needed. He had all he needed to call on Jesus for help and to be welcomed by Jesus and to joyfully follow him. So this is the conclusion then of our study this morning. Faith in Jesus as the one who fulfills God's promises of salvation. That is the way to eternal life. It's also the starting point for the way that we live our lives. Bartimaeus gives us this wonderful example of faith and following. I would pray that each one of us could say this same thing, that faith in God leads us to call on Jesus, to joyfully come and follow the one who is the fulfillment of God's promised salvation. But then also that each one of us could be counted as those who follow Jesus on the way with great joy because of what he has done, not what we have had to offer.